This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 202 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we're continuing. It's October. It's horror month. Everything's spooky. So we're doing some movies that have action and some kind of horror element, some creature, some monster, whatever the case may be. This week, from 1996, we got a little From Dusk Till Dawn, directed, of course, by Robert Rodriguez, one of my favorite directors. Screenplay by Quentin Tarantino, and story by Robert Kurtzman, who, if you guys know, Walking Dead, a little bit of Walking Dead. He also did the makeup of, he was part of a makeup effects team. There's a lot to talk about with this movie. I'm excited to talk about it because, spoiler alert, I love this film. So we're going to be going over it in just a second. Alex, I know this is not a first time watch for you, but when was the most recent time you saw this?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a long time. I have the Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And then when I looked in the back of the Blu-ray, the audio said 2.0. And I was like, wow, did this come out when I first, like when first Blu-ray came out? Because 5.1 was not around. You know what I mean? So I was like, holy hell. So then I would say, let me look at the digital. The digital had mastered 5.1. So I said, you know, I just buy digital was $10. So I was
watched it in HD on Vudu, and it was loud. And I was using TV speakers. And my brother came in, and he was like, bro, that scared me. When the gunshots go off in the gas station in the beginning, it was loud.
Dude, and I just got my rear speakers for my Sonos, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I heard everything when bats were flying.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this is crazy. But anyway, with that said, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I'm glad that we got to see it. We need a freaking 4K for this movie because this is one of my favorite Robert Rodriguez movies. So I can't wait for us to dive into this movie. So, yeah, Nate.
I haven't seen it in a minute. It's been a couple of years. I would say maybe 3 years or so. But it's a movie that I have fond memories of because I actually, the first time, real quick story, the first time I ever watched this, I was in New York. It was 1997. So this was 1 year old movie. And it was on I watched it on a VHS tape with my grandma, of course, letting us always watch stuff we should not have watched. I was 10. Me, my sister, my grandma, we watched this. There's some parts, and I'll talk about them when we're reviewing it, that scared me so much when I was a kid. But also, I just had I knew I wasn't supposed to watch it. It was like rated R. There was a lot of cursing. There was boobs. There was blood. Like, I shouldn't be. So I have very fond memories of the movie. But as an adult, I still like it. So I'm looking forward to talk about it. Before we do, let's just give you a couple of quick scores now. This one is just barely certified fresh. You have a 62% from critics. So not crazy, crazy. Audience score, a bit better. And this is what we were talking about last episode. This one's a 76. Normally, that's the gap that we see when the audience is higher than the critics. It's usually not just 1 point. Yeah, 14% better. Not surprising. As far as like,
I mean, when it comes to critics, they're god awful. I mean, we were talking about it even with the Black Adam. This is ridiculous. But with that said, I'm very shocked that it's a 62. But I kind of understand with the rated R, the nudity. Some critics might hit
them
the wrong way.
Some of these reviews might be old. You know what I mean? Like, they might be older. I think this has aged well, in my opinion. But
we're going to talk about it.
We're about to find out if it aged well. All right, now, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes here. Mm. Alex, you get to go first. Now, lead character, there's two, but there's really one. George Clooney as Seth Gecko is, he's mostly the lead. You could say the co-lead for a little while is Quentin Tarantino as Richie. And then also Harvey Keitel, but we'll go with Seth Gecko as the lead.
Wait, is her name Patricia Arquette, or am I getting confused with the other girl?
Juliette Lewis.
Okay, her and Patricia Arquette, I always got thrown off when they were young. They all look the same.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis was great. She was in Natural Born Killers. She was in this.
Yes. True Romance. Wasn't she?
No, that's Patricia Arquette. You say you get them mixed up and then you get them mixed up.
You're
right
proving my point. Yeah, pretty much.
We'll go with Seth Gecko, though, as he's mostly the lead.
Okay, so we're going to go with my man, George Clooney. Well, I'm going to sprinkle some of everybody because everybody was so good in this movie. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the brothers. Mm-hmm. I love me this version of George Clooney. I love this dude. This dude is so freaking good in this movie. Like, first of all, look, I gave it a 5. Let's just be off the bat. I gave him a 5. He's so freaking good. The cursing. is like the right amount for this dude. Like, the cursing is just way out of, but the way he delivers it, it's like so suave. It's so good. Like, I was like, yo, my man, I'm falling in love with you right now watching you, even in 96. My wife was like all over. She was like, this dude is just gorgeous. I was like, oh my God, like, relax.
He was very handsome and tan.
He was mad handsome. I mean, he still is now, but yeah.
Very tan.
But the way is like the character, he's a loving brother. He's a thief that doesn't kill people, but he does it if he has to. Like, he has a code. My man Richie doesn't give a shit. My man is killing everybody. I love the beginning. He was like, you send him a code, right? You give him a code. He's like, what code? What are you talking about? Because I saw you say something to him, and he shot the dude, and he goes, why did you shoot him for? He goes, because he passed him a word. He goes, I saw him. He said it. He's in the cop that we were here. And that dynamic, the dynamic between Quentin Tarantino and George Clooney, it felt so natural. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. This is another movie that he did also, but Quentin Tarantino is a pretty good actor. Like, for a director.
He's pretty good. I agree.
Yeah. I don't mean like he's an Oscar award winner, but on the movies that fit his mannerisms and his charisma, he is really good on the camera. Like, this movie is so him. Like, I was just like, yo, I was so into the movie between these two bickering and yelling. Even when he was stuck in the bathroom and he goes, oh my God, he's freaking out. He goes, they're going to know we're here. And he goes, shut up. He goes, we're going to know we're here. He bashed him in the face.
Yeah. And then he starts talking louder and louder.
Yeah.
He just knocks him out.
Yeah. And then he goes, what happened? He goes, I got knocked out. He goes, yeah. He goes, you fell like a sack of potatoes. He's like, I don't know why.
You fell and you hit your nose.
He goes, my glasses, these are my only fucking pair. He goes, we'll get more glasses. He goes, come on. And his glasses all broken. Like, that dynamic is cool. The other characters, I'll say it quick because I want you to go. But the other characters, they all gel very well. And I think that's what made this movie very special. Even my man, Tom Savini as Sex Machine, he was so good in this movie. I loved him in this movie. He was really funny. And even the black dude, he was good too.
Fred Williamson.
With the cigar. Yeah. He is hilarious in this damn movie. But all of them served a purpose in the story that was very fun. And I thought it was very well. Robert Rodriguez, I got to tell you, he has to go back and film these type of movies. I don't know why he stopped doing this. I miss these quirky vampire movies, but we're going to talk about it more in other categories. But with that said, I gave it a 5. It was amazing. Perfect.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I think George Clooney is amazing. This was ER time, George Clooney. So you got to remember, he's on a TV show, primetime, doctor show, very for Percy. Women and family. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. And then this one, he's like, F-bombs galore, like threatening people. You know what I mean? Tarantino's hilarious because he wrote the script and him and Robert Rodriguez, they've been friends for like years and years and years and years. And I can just see him being like, listen, Robert, I'll play this guy who's the brother of the most beautiful man on earth. And then you got Quentin Tarantino, who looks nothing like him, is ugly. But it worked. It worked. And you know why I think he's smart as far as when he acts? Because he only acts in movies he writes. So he knows exactly what he's looking for. And he's a director. So I don't think I think you're right. When he's in his movies, he had the little role in Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs.
Planet Terror?
Yeah, this. Planet Terror and Death Proof. He was the bartender. Yeah. Like, he knows. He doesn't give himself too much, but he gives himself just enough. And of course, he's a creep with his foot fetish. He got to have Selma Hayek's foot in his mouth. He was probably in heaven. He was probably in heaven. He's a creep. To George Clooney, you know, the only downside of him is like they're bad guys. So you're following bad guys the whole time. You know, he's not a hero at all.
He's an anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero. Because at the end, he does make a decision that was like the right thing to do, where he didn't take that girl with him. He's like, no, you go home, go somewhere else. You don't want to go here. I love Harvey Keitel in this movie. I love Harvey Keitel. I think he gives a great performance. He's a preacher who is no longer a preacher. His wife died and he's lost his faith. And it plays into the script a lot. And I think they did a good job, and he kind of gets it back, you know, right before the end. And Juliette Lewis, I always like her, especially in the 90s. I think she was always really good. She always plays these quirky characters in these weird movies, but I think she was great. I agree. He's mostly lead, but as a whole ensemble, a 5. I think everyone played their roles great. They're super watchable characters. You feel some way about everybody, whether you like them, hate them, love them, whatever. Everyone elicits a reaction, which I think is a great sign. So it's a 5 for me as well. Okay, villains. Now, it's vampires. It's a bunch of them. There's not like a one. So we'll just go with the vampires in From Dusk Till Dawn. What did you think?
A 5. Yes, a 5. I'm sorry. There was multiple. And this is the reason. I mean, yeah, they're vampires. But what I will say is that they were different type of vampires. So that's what made the movie for me fun, unique, is because there was not only the humans turning into vampires. There was like some, they look like they came out of hell, fresh
one
from
hell.
One of
them turned into Tom Savini turned into a rat.
Yeah, he turned into a rat. Yeah, vampire. Yeah. Yeah, so like, and then you had the big black guy, he was like,
his mouth is this big.
Yeah, so like, for me, the makeup was great. Also, let's just get that straight up. I mean, you have one of the legendary makeup artists for horror in the movie. You know, he gave some tips and tricks while
they
were getting
makeup. Who was like top of the line horror makeup artist group. Yeah.
So you had two in this film. But yeah, in terms of the villains, I mean, there's nothing more to say about them because honestly, yes, Salma Hayek did start the entire thing because she did turn first and she had that one of the most exotic entrances, known to man, I think in any movie. I was stunned, bro. I was watching the movie. I was like, holy hell. Like, what am
I
watching
here?
She's
not even like naked, but it's like one of the greatest
entrances,
like, dance numbers in a movie.
Yeah.
It's memorable. I love it.
We all memorize right now.
Everybody remembers. Remember that one time when Salma Hayek comes out on the stage?
With a snake, like Britney Spears? Snake.
Britney Spears copied her.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's crazy? So I told my wife, because I was like, you know what's crazy? When you think of Dusk Till Dawn and you tell someone, what do you think of Dusk Till Dawn? Everyone goes, Salma Hayek dancing. Like, she's there for like two, like literally 5 minutes into the movie, and she's dead, but everyone goes, Salma Hayek.
That's how
my
you
wife
know.
Goes, no, only the guys, because she was like George Clooney. So I was like, yeah, I kind of figured that. So I was like, it's entertaining for both. It's okay. I like it. But look, overall, I like everyone turning into. I love the band with the human body. They will play.
That band who's in every Robert Rodriguez movie, they're always there playing.
Let
something.
Me just tell you, that band was hilarious. When you listen to the words, he was like, me gusta fumar marihuana. Yeah.
It just has minimal lyrics. He says like one little sentence and then they just play music.
Yeah, they all start bopping, going crazy. Nah, but look, overall, makeup effects was great. In terms of the villains and everybody churning and bats flying in, and it's just spectacular. And I had to give it a 5. I'll talk about it in the storyline, but yeah, I gave it a 5.
Yeah, so in this case, the fact that we're scoring a group rather than a 1, yeah, you know what? Vampires, just like we talked about last week with Dog Soldiers, I'm a fan of vampires. Yeah. I dig some vampires. One, usually they can talk, so there's personality to them. You know what I mean? Which makes it a little more evil. Like a werewolf is out of control. They can't help it. A zombie doesn't even think. It just wants to eat. Vampires are calculated. But the vampire route that they went here is pure monster. Like, they don't really talk. They talk, but they say, like, I'm gonna get you. They say stuff like that. They're not like, you know, this ain't Dracula. They're not handsome. No. They're not dressed. They look like lizards. Some of them look like bats. That one super ugly one, that part is always hilarious where they're all like lined up. And then there's one that's like all goofy looking with the big ears and stuff like that. Hilarious. Yeah, Tom Savini turns into a vampire and then also turns into a rat. Fred Williamson is like huge and then his mouth turns like gigantic.
The father.
It's awesome. And then there's like literally a million bats outside flying around. When the band turns into vampires, all of a sudden the guitar is like a dead body with like a leg for the stick at the end. You know, like, it's very creative. The makeup was great. Some of the CGI transitions, they look a little dated, but the actual like death scenes and stuff are really good. I still think they hold up, and it's almost all practical, which is great. You know, it's makeup, it's blood, it's goo. This movie's really gooey. There's like stuff spraying everywhere. I think the only thing, I'm going to give it a 5 on the whole. I think it would be even better if there was like a lead vampire, you know, like one that's like kind of in charge. And she dies though like pretty fast. So it would have been cool if there was one, like, or even like Cheech Marin. Even he plays 3 roles in this movie, but
oh, he was funny.
His vampire version, like if he would have been in charge, or Danny Trejo, anybody, you know. But that's okay. As such, there's just, I can't, it's hordes and hordes of crazy looking vampires in it. And I love it as well. 5 out of 5. Okay. Action.
All right. Let's get back to Earth.
Let's bring the spaceship.
Let's bring it down. This movie's a 5.
Oh my gosh.
Look, I don't know, man. We might be seeing some different movies here, but this movie has tons of action. But not the action that you think of, right? You got the gun firing, right? He's like bang, bang, shooting everyone. Then you got dudes getting stabbed. You're like, yeah, the dude picking up chicks and putting them on each end of the table.
Oh, I love that part.
I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. You got flames. You got bats upon bats. You got my man with the cross shotgun and he's going click, click, kabooey in your face. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. You got condom bombs with the
you got holy super water soakers. Super soakers.
Yo, dude, once you got an arsenal of condom bombs, holy water, and a super soaker, getting a 5. Yes,
and very condiments. And you got the jackhammer steak. It's like,
dude. Yeah, he was like, oh. You know what? And then she had the Buffy crossbow. Like, I was like, you know what? It is what it is. This is a 5. You had a lot. And in the beginning was action, too, when they shot up the place when together. So Robert Rodriguez, again, excellent action director. And he poured that sucker onto this franchise. And I loved it. It looked all good. And it still holds up because it was all practical. So everything was like, blah. And I was like, yes, loved it. With that said, that is a 5, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to be realistic sometimes. And, you know, sometimes things are 5s. So what are you going to do about it? Look, you know what? Listen, everything you said is right. Everything you said is right. Yeah. Why do I have to act like it's not, like I didn't think it was a hell of a time. Now, if there's one argument, okay, yeah, you have the action scene in the beginning, which, by the way, I know Tarantino wrote it. That is the most Quentin Tarantino scene in the whole movie. The gas station, in the liquor store in the beginning.
Yeah.
That is, it seemed like he directed it. It's not a complaint. I enjoy his movies. But you got Michael Parks, who's in a lot of his movies and a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies. Anytime they're in Texas and they need like a cop, it's that guy. Every time. Kill Bill, this, Death Proof, Planet Terror, he's in all those movies. So he comes in, he's just talking with the guy. They're just talking. You think it's just like, what am I watching? I don't even know. Then all of a sudden, George Clooney comes out. And then, you know, it's very Tarantino. Then there's a shootout, which was done really well. It's like close quarters are only like 10 feet from each other, but it's very exciting. And they shoot the liquor. He throws a thing, catches on fire. Dude pops up, still tries to kill them. Like, great. And then the whole thing explodes. So there's a little bit of action. Then there's none for about 45 to 50 minutes, which is fine. But then it's all story. And this reminds me of Predator. Like if you're showing this to a friend and they have no idea this is a vampire movie, it will catch them. It comes out of left field. Like you think this is like a robber, you know, bank robber movie, a fugitive movie. It's not a horror movie until Selma Hayek all of a sudden is a vampire. And then you're like, what the heck? Now, at this point, it's been out long enough where I don't think you can get anybody with that. But I'm sure if you show someone really young and don't tell them it's a vampire movie, it will come out of left field. And I love that. You know what I mean? It was really cool. Now, once the vampires show up, though, it's literally nonstop action for the last 40 minutes, pretty much. Once someone turns into a vampire, like you said, people are getting flipped over. There's the wiener gun. There's the whip. There's like just so much action. And it's very creative. That's my thing. Yes. Give me something creative. I've never seen condom grenades full of holy water. I've never seen a holy water super soaker. I've never seen a jackhammer steak. You know what I mean? Like the bullets, they're carving the little crosses into the bullets. That way when it hits them, they die. All great. 5 for me as well. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not. Okay, storyline.
It's going to continue the trend. It's a 5. I don't think, to be really honest with you, is there flaws in the story? I bet there is, but I can't find none. Why? Because I enjoyed it from the minute the story started into the end. It was nonstop fun action, bickering between the brothers, and then him and the chemistry between the father with the glasses. He was so good. He was like, are you really a loser?
I love that
scene. You can't take a win as a win. And he's like, what did you say? He goes, do you want me to repeat myself? And he repeated it again. And he was like, why don't you take a shot with me? Because he had balls to say it again. Like he was just like, yo, this dude don't play. And I liked that. It was very fun. And you're right. It's like a kind of a blend between the serious sometimes, and then it goes right into some like ridiculous action movie, you know, Robert Rodriguez style, like Desperado style, and you're like, what the, you know, mixed with a little horror, but it worked. It worked very well. And I mean, I wish we do Planet Terror, Death Proof, because I know you're a big fan of Death Proof. I need see it again. Yeah. But it's it's one of those, and I would like to do it within what I mean next year, because we have so much movies to watch. But it's so fun when you have something like this that's creative. It's just sit through popcorn flick, but it just makes sense. And you're like, wow, this is actually really good between actors that are really good at their craft, bringing these characters to life. And another thing was that this movie was supposed to be Tales from the Crypt from Dusk Till Dawn. And they were like, no, they lost the right, the licensing, and then Dimension Films brought it. Because I think it went up for auction or whatever, bidding. And they brought it out. And look, the rest is history.
They end up doing Bordello of Blood as their vampire movie instead, which is nowhere near this movie.
No. Demon Knight. I will say Demon Knight is just like this one.
Demon Knight is one of the best like double feature like horror kind of action movie nights you can have, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. But you know what's funny, though? If they would have slapped Tales from the Crypt across this board, I mean, Tales from the Crypt across the board, I could totally see it. Because the ending with all those vampires walking, I was like, this is so Tales from the Crypt. Like, you could see it.
And the end, where it zooms out and it's that temple. It's like, oh my God, it's actually like some crazy vampire temple that the bar is on.
I get this picture of the Crypt Keeper kind of like, late, good boys and ghouls, what did you think about the bar? And he had like a little puppet.
And it has the morality element, right? Like, hey, these are guys are fugitives. They're criminals. Hey, don't do that. Because
how would he start it off? Like, if you, like, because you know how the Crypt Keeper always starts the story? He'd be like, two brothers on the run and about to meet their doom at a bar.
He'll make some pun about,
he'll be like, and then he goes, this is a story I will call From Dusk Till Dawn.
You're probably close.
Be something like that. And it starts, it's like, and then you see the cop walking in. But look, other than that, look, I give it a 5.
That's a great fun fact. I was going to mention, if you didn't, it was supposed to be the Tales from the Crypt movie, ended up not. Mm-mm. Good. It's fine. If it was,
it would have been great.
It would have been great. And if it's not, it doesn't hurt it. Look, the first 50 minutes of this movie is a really solid Quentin Tarantino movie. And the second 50 minutes of this movie is a really great Robert Rodriguez movie, period. That's how I've always watched it. Everything before the vampires is very Tarantino-esque. A lot of dialogue, a lot of talking, but it's interesting dialogue. It's characters that you're intrigued in watching. They're off the rails. Some of them are not. There's a lot of dynamic there. And then it goes into really the Robert. Once they get to the titty twister, it is full Robert Rodriguez all the way the rest of the movie. So I love it. And of course, it has all his regulars. Look, the cast in this movie is great, right? You have, oh, by the way, the story, we're doing storyline. It's a 5.
Yeah.
It's a 5. I'll save it for overall. Anyway, the storyline, let me stick with what it is. It's great. It's a mixture. It's a mixture of two movies. It's a fugitive on the run movie, crime, and it's a vampire horror monster movie. And both work. When both work, for me, flawless. 5 out of 5. Okay. Now that we're overall, I'll go over all that stuff. So what's your overall? I think I know, but what's your overall?
Yeah, look, overall, it's a 5. I mean, I'm going to continue to fight. It's going to be another perfect score here because you're right. When we did Predator 1987, we said, were there other movies that started off serious and then it ended in like a totally different movie that it started? Yeah. And we answered our own question from Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah. So with that, I had to give it props. Robert Rodriguez, I love his action movies. And the funny thing is, he does not go back to these type of genres. I don't get it. It's like James Cameron. But when he does, the movies are so fun. They're innovative. They're just fun to sit down and watch. And again, I wish we get the damn Desperados in 4K. I wish we get these movies in 4K, Planet Terror's in 4K, because they deserve it. I think they deserve it with the new upgrades with Atmos and the colors popping on the blood. I would love it. Even the machete kills. I will watch that.
Even the all Faculty. Day. Like, can I get the Faculty on 4K? Like, that's a Robert Rodriguez movie, and I want it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I would want all his movies.
Machete.
Oh, Machete's fun.
Yeah.
The 2 is wonky, but it's just so fun to sit down
and
watch.
Yeah, but 2 has Mel Gibson, and that's pretty fun.
I love my man Mel Gibson. Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. But one thing I will say before I pass it off the baton to you is the music in this movie is so good. Between this movie, Desperado, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, it's one of my top three Robert Rodriguez scores. Like, yeah. Oh, dude, this movie's so good. Even Kara was going, she was just bopping her head. Yeah, yeah, she loved it. She was just bopping. So it was actually really fun to see her jump all over the place. But with that said, five.
Yeah, he always got that band in there. They were in Desperado, too. They were in this. They've been in like a few of his movies. Look, I love Robert Rodriguez. We definitely got to add him to Director Spotlight because he is one of my favorite directors, just period. Yeah. There's very few movies of his that I don't like. Maybe Spy Kids and like, but they're not for me. But I guarantee, I know the kids that grew up with them love, my brother loves those movies. So he did everything, right? He did kid movies. He did adult movies. All his stuff is rated R or it's for kids. And then Alita Battle Angel. So
that was good.
And it was good. So, okay. Overall, listen, the cast, I mean, you got George Clooney, you got Tarantino, right? Okay, cool. But then you got the regulars, the Tarantino and Rodriguez regulars. You got Michael Parks shows up as the cop, Juliette Lewis. Great. Harvey Keitel, an amazing actor. You got in one scene, they're both in one scene. You got Kelly Preston as a news reporter and John Saxon as I think he's like a lawyer or whatever. She's interviewing him or he might be a DA or something. John Saxon, Fred Williamson, Tom Savini. And then at the table with Tom Savini, if you notice, he steals the beer from Robert Kurtzman. That's Robert Kurtzman that he takes the beer from. So you got the makeup effects guys in the movie. Danny Trejo. It's not a Robert Rodriguez movie if Danny Trejo doesn't show his face somewhere. I love him as the bartender in this. And then you got Salma Hayek, you know, who was in a bunch of his early movies. It's just like Cheech Marin playing three roles. It's a who's who of people you've seen in both of these directors' movies. And I'm here for all of it. Look, I love this film. It has a special place for me nostalgia-wise. But when I rewatch it, I still love it, which is a good sign. I didn't just like it because I was a kid. I like it because I think it's a great movie. It's a ton of fun. It has a great cast. Really good acting for what is essentially a B movie. It has really, really great performances. Yeah, this is a B movie. It's a crazy drive-in monster movie splatter fest. And you got Harvey Keitel and George Clooney in it, who are like Oscar nominated, you know, actors. An amazing flick, a great time, a 5 out of 5 for me. You know, I'm not going to sit here. I don't give out too many perfects. I think there's only my third that we've ever had. Yep. But this is a movie that I do really love. So I feel perfectly comfortable giving it the 5. I don't even need to ask you. We both gave it a 25 out of 25. So this is this goes up with this is weird, but it goes up with Terminator 2 and Predator as the only movies that both gave a perfect 25 to.
Yeah.
On paper, this doesn't belong with those movies, but you know what? Sometimes it just shakes out that way.
I agree.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just a great film. It's a great film and it's a ton of fun. Okay, next week we got Magnum Force, the next in the Dirty Harry series. And then I think this is a first time watch for you too. We're wrapping up our horror themed action movies with a movie that I have not seen since the movie theater. It's called Priest. It is about a group of futuristic priests that fight vampires. Just to get your beak wet, we got, you know who's in this movie? Paul Bettany. He plays the priest. He's cool. Okay. Maggie Q is in this movie. You like Maggie Q?
Oh, yeah.
And your boy, Carl Urban. He's the bad guy.
It's a 5. It's already a 5. That's an overall 5 right there. That's a 5 right there.
I don't remember if it's... I think I liked it, but I have no idea. It's been a long time since I watched it. So I'm actually really looking forward to rewatching it. We're going to be doing a little bit of Legion. I'm not Legion. Priest. Paul Bettany had the two spiritual weird movies.
Oh, gotcha.
And they came out at the same time. Priest. Okay. So we're going to be doing some Priest next week. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it.
Priest.
Because this could go either. You could give this an 8
or Doom.
Or a 23. Yeah, I don't know. About
Doom.
This could be Doom or this could be this from Dusk Till Dawn. I don't know.
Could be.
Probably Doom. But or maybe somewhere in the middle. Might be in the middle.
It might be in the middle. Yeah, it could be tossed between the middle. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I like when we watch movies that we never seen because it makes it fun when we were reviewing because we just start laughing at the stupid parts because we all start thinking the same thing when we watch them. So, like, that's why it was kind of funny when we saw Dirty Harry because you already knew when he stabbed the dude what we were going to laugh at, him yelling like a nutball. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, with that said, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version. of the podcast, or head over to www.geeksandflicks.com in our official website. You guys can have our t-shirts, Action Movie Guys t-shirts, Geeks and Flicks t-shirts. We got mugs. We got phone cases. But other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.